Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, AM 1400. That's Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, 639-0008, or if you're outside of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is surreal. In each half hour, we'll be exploring subject matters that may seem surreal to you, the listener. In the first half hour, we're going to look at UFOs, aliens, and two men's belief that such things exist. In the second half hour, we'll look at 9/11 from a first-hand perspective of one Marine Lieutenant Colonel who was in the White House on the day the tragedy occurred. If you want to join in the conversation for either of these, call us at 639-0008. My first two guests, Dr. Roger Lear, is one of the world's most important leaders in physical evidence research involving the field of ufology. He and his surgical team have performed 15 surgeries on alleged alien abductees. Thus, the result of these removals is 16 separate and distinct suspected of being alien implants. These objects have been scientifically investigated by some of the most prestigious laboratories in the world. Dr. Lear is a pediatric surgeon. He has been in private practice in Ventura County for the past 43 years. He's the author of 4 books in the United States and 3 books outside of the United States. Drew Ryan Maris is trained by the United States Marine Corps. He is regarded as an original thinker with an uncanny instinct to understand life beyond the headlines. Drew brings genuine and sincere devotion to the cause of revealing truth in today's world and its future. In his free time, he enjoys the company of friends and family, as well as writing, traveling, spending time outdoors with his two dogs, Malibu and Jaden. Dr. Lear and Drew, welcome both to the show. How are you today?
Good, thank you, and thank you for having us on.
Well, it's good to have you, Dr. Lear. And Drew, it's great to have you, too. Let's do this. We're going to treat it as a panel discussion today because a lot of people in the audience may be a little bit skeptical about UFOs, about aliens. And so, Drew, I'm going to start with you, if that's okay, because you bring sort of a historical perspective to this. And just to put this into context, recently British astrophysicist Stephen Hawking said that it's likely that alien life exists. And you have a slightly different view. You believe that aliens have already been here for years. What makes you think that, Drew?
Well, first off, thank you for having me on your show today.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
And I would always like to, in my radio interviews, I always want to sincerely thank all of those crusaders spearheading this uphill charge who were at the forefront of this movement. I mean, the real pioneers and veterans who have earned their stripes fighting for a cause much, much greater than themselves. Individuals who have been in the trenches taking grenades in a war-torn amount of flak for trying to reveal the unsugar-coated truth behind December 21st, 2012, and not only that, ufology as well. So to individuals like Stephen Greer, Eric von Daniken, who's the author of Chariots of the Gods,
Chariots Bill of the Gods, Kern, right.
Evan Sanderson, a thousand thank yous. And then Colonel Philip Corso, the author of The Day After Roswell, a thousand thank yous to these gentlemen.
All right. Well, that being said, Drew, you have a lot of historical perspective that aliens have actually been around for some time. What leads you to that conclusion?
Well, when you look around, there are so many hallmark features all over left on planet Earth. that point directly to alien intervention. And the number one thing that I would like to discuss would probably be what is found at Pumapunku in Bolivia, where author and researcher Giorgio Tsoukalou says logic does not exist. The ancient Egyptian pyramid, Easter Island, Machu Picchu, Peru, these are mere child's play compared to what is being found at Pumapunku. There are 800-ton megalithic blocks at this site, which is the equivalent to 600 full-size cars, and that's a conservative figure. And these weigh 1.6 million pounds, these blocks, and that is the total combined weight of four blue whales. Do we really believe it possible for primitive man to be moving around megalithic blocks that weighed the same as four blue whales at a time 17,000 years ago without any heavy machinery? How is this inconceivable feat possible without alien intervention? So if these blocks weighed 1.6 million pounds and they were supposedly hauled to an elevation above the tree line at 13,000 feet from a rock quarry 10 miles away by the Andean people who lived in Pumapunku around 500 AD, and by the way, they were still using just simple tools and reed boats and could not have physically moved these huge blocks that defy logic and reason. But more even astonishing than the weight of the blocks, these several hundred-ton blocks displayed 6 millimeter wide, 1 millimeter deep, precision-made grooves containing equidistant drilled holes, not 1 millimeter off from edge to edge. Now, this feat of craftsmanship would be impossible to construct with the Andean people's primitive use of stone and copper tools. So we have to forget about the fact that these were 100 to 800 ton megalithic blocks. Forget the fact that the blocks were supposedly moved uphill into position from a rock quarry 10 miles away to above the tree line at 13,000 feet. Forget about the fact that these blocks were precision cut, aligning perfectly like interlocking building blocks, not 1 millimeter off from edge to edge. Forget about the fact that the structures at Pumapunku were aligned astronomically to mimic our planetary alignment and celestial events. What we need to understand at Pumapunku in Bolivia, where logic does not exist, what we need to understand is that these megalithic block stones were constructed from the hardest granite on planet Earth, granite diorite, and can only be cut with a diamond or laser. So why would a primitive civilization just one step out of the Stone Age at possibly the oldest known area of civilization 17,000 years ago? Why would they use stone and copper tools and decide to use granite diorite blocks for construction? I mean, even in today, with all the modern advances in engineering and mathematics, it would be very difficult to fashion or transport such a structure, 800 tons, 1.6 million pounds. It's just not feasible.
Why indeed? Absolutely. Now, most people don't know about Pumapunku, and there's another UFO sighting and actual UFO crash that people are unfamiliar with as well. Everybody knows Roswell in 1947 in the United States, very well publicized. But, Dr. Lear, I'm going to come to you. There was another UFO crash, even more conclusive perhaps than Roswell, that happened down in Brazil. I always mispronounce it, Varginha. It stands for Virgin, I know that, when you translate it, but how do you properly pronounce it, and what makes that UFO crash as exciting or more exciting than Roswell?
Well, the Brazil crash, number one, occurred in 1996, and it is pronounced Varginha.
Thank you for correcting me.
So if you think of Virginia, the state or the name of the female, and substitute the I with an A, you have Varginha, and it was a small town of about 160,000 people. It actually made a headline in the Wall Street Journal, which said stinky aliens land in Brazil. It was a bit tongue-in-cheek on the front page, but on the page that followed, it laid it out as it was. Now, what makes this more important? And, of course, as you know, I've written the book, UFO Crash in Brazil, I investigated the case along with the late John Mack and a few other researchers. Also, in response to Drew, I've been to South America, Peru many times, and Eric Von Daniken and Giorgio are both good friends of mine, so I know where he's coming from, and his statements are factual and well accepted. And if people would wake up, the world would wake up, and if anybody had any doubt, do 2 seconds worth of research, they would see the importance of all this. But back to Varginha again, not only was the time differential important, I mean, Roswell 1947, Varginha 1996, more emphasis in the Varginha case was placed on the survivors of the crash. And these were alien beings that were described by numerous people. The case was taken over by the Brazilian Army and finally verified by the Air Force when they had a release of documents about a year ago, which indicated there was a tremendous amount of UFO activity in the state of Minas Gerais. Now, the one of the interesting things about the Brazil case was that not only the craft that was important and was taken away to a place close by and then finally delivered on a cargo plane to the United States, but there was a surgeon, orthopedic surgeon in Varginha who was coerced by the military to perform a surgical repair of a fracture in one of these alien beings. And this is a well-documented case. The physician no longer will talk about it, as the information, like most of these situations, has been suppressed by military authority. So there you have it. There's kind of a thumbnail analysis of both cases.
All
both
right.
Both important, one a little more recent.
That's right. We're talking to Dr. Roger Lear and Drew Morass here about aliens, about UFOs, and about sightings in South America. We're going to stop for a quick break here, commercial break. When we come back, though, gentlemen, I want to ask you both, why South America? What is the appeal that the aliens have south of the border? Don't answer that now. We'll answer that when we come back after this short break.
And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ AM 1400. Our theme today is surreal, and we're talking to two ufologists who are talking about aliens, alien spacecrafts, and some of the marvels that aliens have created. My special guests are Dr. Roger Lear and Drew Morass. Drew, before we went away to commercial, I was talking to you and both about why South America, and I was doing that somewhat tongue-in-cheek. I do want to come back and ask a serious question, though, and that is, looking at these phenomenal accomplishments that were done in South America, you're talking about Bolivia and Punta, when you look at that, is it possible, just possible, that perhaps they had some technologies that has been lost over time that allowed them to build these incredible structures? And it looks impossible to us today simply because that technology has been lost to history, and we don't know how they did it.
This could be correct. And, yes, you really have to think outside the box when broaching a subject like ufology. But when we look around and you add up all the pieces, I mean, this is like a 100,000-piece puzzle that we're all trying to put together. And when you bring the plethora of pieces together and you start to see what that's bringing together and what that picture is becoming, that picture is born and that picture screams out cover up. It doesn't whisper it. How are these architectural marvels built in such a primitive era without having machinery, just one step out of the Stone Age? That's a great question. And why were these enigmatic wonders always built on top of an energy vortex? It seems like where you find energy vortexes or converging energy lines across the globe, that is of great interest to UFOs. And once again, to the audience listening, UFO does not mean little green men from Mars, okay? A UFO is just a radically advanced type of aircraft that they would consider, you know, their type of airplane. So an airplane, what an airplane is to us, you know, it is to them. It's that simple for this other alien or extraterrestrial culture. But the reason why these energy vortexes such as Machu Picchu, the ancient Egyptian pyramids, those kind of areas, Stonehenge, then you get these kind of areas. It's because aliens, this is alien culture. They don't want the Earth's land. They don't care about the Earth's gold, the diamonds, the minerals, nor the water that we possess. However, what they do want is the raw magnetic power that surges on and through the Earth. The aliens harvest this magical power in a way that is still foreign to us. It's in a way that is unknown to us. And most importantly, the aliens recognize this magnetic power as more valuable than any other commodity on our globe. But to us, we're still rookies in this department. We're still sitting on the sidelines. We're starting to slowly understand this magnetic power and why they do build these inconceivable feats, these inconceivable structures on top of these energy vortexes. Mm.
Now, we're talking to two ufologists today. That was Drew Morass, who was just talking about energy and magnetic power. And, Drew, we'll come back to you in just a second. But, UFOs are not something that's strange. Very famous American presidents have all had UFO encounters. Presidents Truman, Reagan, and Eisenhower have all had some form of UFO encounter. And President Jimmy Carter, when he was in the Navy, did as well. Dr. Lear, I'm going to come back to you because I am a skeptic at heart. I always want proof. And you say you've got proof from some of your experiments where you have taken out foreign objects from alien abductees that cannot be explained of this world. What do you mean by that, and what have you found?
Well, when you speak of being a skeptic, you could not have found a more profound skeptic than myself when I began this research. It was one thing to consider that entities come here from somewhere else, and we don't know whether they're extraterrestrial time travelers or from another dimension or from another planet in nearby vicinity or someplace far away. So to convince me that the craft were coming here, okay. Piloted by intelligent beings, okay. Abductions finally were considered legitimate and on a worldwide basis happening continuously, but to have objects placed in their bodies without scars or without the ability for the individual to know was a little too much for me to swallow. So I jumped in as a challenge and began removing these. And by the way, we have now performed 16 surgeries and have 17 objects. Now, we look at these, of course, through a scientific motif. I'm the plumber. If you don't like the sewage that I bring up, why, I guess you have to live with it. But it doesn't come from me. I do not consider myself a scientist, but I do listen to what they have to say. We have a 501c3 nonprofit organization which has a scientific advisory board with PhDs from all over the world and various fields of expertise. We find that these objects contain not only things like meteoric iron, but they contain things like non-terrestrial isotopic ratios, which sounds complex, but let's just suffice it to say they don't come from here. And the latest findings show that they contain carbon nanotube structures and very well organized what we call orthorhombic crystals, and that they are devices, nanotechnological devices for the transmission of some type of communications. Now, I'm going to be releasing some new information at the San Francisco Bay Area Expo, which is going to occur at Halloween in San Francisco.
Fortuitous day, yeah.
So if people would be interested in that, they can go directly to the website, which is the Bay Area UFO Expo, or they can get it through my website, which is alienscalpel.com. Also, I want to mention that with this, we're putting on some new material. There was a film not long ago, a few years ago, that was done by Walt Disney called Alien Encounters. It's a very interesting film. It disappeared. We found a copy of it, and we're going to have it up on the website. And it refers to all the photography of UFOs as alien space vehicles being piloted by non-terrestrials.
Wow. We're talking to Dr. Roger Lear and Drew Maris, everybody, about UFOs. They are both ufologists. Drew, I'm going to come back to you because you were talking, and both you and Roger were both talking about intelligent life piloting crafts to this planet. And if UFOs exist and they do have this advanced technology, I mean, that puts them literally light years ahead of us in terms of their civilization. But if you look at humans' history, we've got kind of a jaded history when it comes to colonization and going to new places when we have the superior technology. It usually ends up in a disaster. Look at the Spanish conquistadors, the American colonists, the British in Africa and India, et cetera, et cetera. So if aliens visit Earth from other planets, what makes us think that they're going to come in peace and that they're going to treat us as equals?
That's a great question. I mean, are aliens hostile? That's a question everybody wants to know. And, you know, since they can evade our best, evade and penetrate our radar and our aircraft, that we have, our military would consider these things a threat. However, I would say, I would beg to differ, because if they were hostile, they would have conquered us and annihilated us long before, you know, Dr. Robert Oppenheimer was working on the Manhattan Project back in World War II with the Trinity test and stated, "Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds." Before they unlocked the secrets of nuclear power, I think that the alien cultures would have attacked us before we started tinkering with nuclear bombs. So, you know, they could have annihilated the primitive human species if they really wanted to, but that doesn't seem to be their agenda. If anyone is hostile, it's the human species. I mean, we're so malicious towards one another and can't seem to learn and share of this small planet or blue sphere and coexist on our one planet together. If they were observing us, they would easily see that the human species is addicted to war, and we kind of destroy everything that we touch. I mean, this is kind of an extreme view, but we are kind of a plague to this Earth. All the other millions of species in the oceans and on land have learned how to live with one another in harmony, and there's a balance kept. However, when you add the human variable into the equation, the balance is lost, because we consume all the resources on Mother Earth of, you know, without even thinking of the long-term ramifications of our actions. But that's the whole thing. We need to a paradigm shift. We need to take a good look at ourselves in the mirror and realize what we've become as of lately. We need to re-examine our own attitudes and beliefs and really, really take John F. Kennedy's words to heart. And I quote, "Mankind must put an end to war, or war will put an end to mankind." I mean, how are we supposed to coexist with other intergalactic cultures in the universe when we can't even coexist amongst ourselves? So we must subscribe to peace. It's not just for hippies. And if there's money found in killing people, then there's money to be found in helping people. People would consider it possibly naive, but we got to stop building bombs and bullets and start building schools and hospitals. So if they were watching us, you know, I don't think that they're hostile right now, because, like I said, they would have attacked us thousands of years ago.
Makes sense. We're talking to two ufologists, Dr. Roger Lear and Drew Maris. Guys, we only have 1 minute left, so I'm going to pose the same question to each of you, starting with you, Dr. Lear. If you have only one bit of advice to try to convince a skeptic why there is life outside of Earth and why there are aliens who have visited us, what would that one piece be?
Well, I think we can answer that question very simply. If you look at the number of star systems, for example, in the visible universe, then you consider the amount of star systems that we're seeing that are outside the visible universe. And if you think that this small little blue ball in an arm of the Milky Way galaxy has the only quote-unquote intelligent life on it, then you've got to have an ego that's bigger than the Earth.
There you go. So you're going to play the mathematics card that we can't be, in all the billions and billions of stars and planets that are out there, we can't be the only intelligent life. That's an interesting one. Drew, same question to you. What's the one thing that you would point to the existence of extraterrestrial life and extraterrestrial beings?
Well, all the research that I have done, everything that I have done and compiled, everything is indicative that UFOs are the most important item on the Black Program's agenda. And Black Programs are going in places like Area 51, which is now a misdirection to areas like Dulce, New Mexico, or the by the Bradshaw Ranch, Sedona. So Skunk Work Programs, the UFOs are the most important item on their agenda. And if it is a serious priority, major area of research within that program, then it needs to be within the civilian world's agenda as well. And we cannot just sit idly by with 2012 right around the corner. Because the problem is that Mother Earth herself is in trouble and about to have a once every 25,800-year great galactic alignment set to commence December 21st, 2012. But there's a very good reason for everybody listening right now why UFO activity has spiked in recent years, like with the UFO that went viral over China.
And Drew, we're going to have to leave that for another discussion at another time. If people want to learn more about what you're talking about, what website of yours would you direct them to so they can get more information about this sighting over China?
Sure. www.openyoureyes2012andbeyond.com.
www.openyoureyes2012andbeyond.com. And that's the website. Guys, thanks very much. We've been talking to Dr. Roger Lear and Drew Maris about UFOs, about aliens, and about things that are surreal. But guys, thanks so much for being part of my panel discussion. We'll talk to you down the road.
Pleasure.